I assume that whenever in the Gospels there is an explanation for a parable, somebody has been messing with the text. Parables don't have explanations. I don't mean that somebody changed it when the prayer book changed, or when a new translation of the Gospels came out, or any time recently. It happened almost at the beginning. Somebody among the Gospel writers was sure of what Jesus meant by a parable, so he attached an explanation to it. And the explanation to the parable today is that this is where evil came from. Someone has been messing with what farmer planted. That's not the only explanation. And as I'm going to go on to say, I don't even think it's the right explanation. I think it's Matthew's explanation when he came to write down what Jesus said. Parables, by definition, are fiction. They're made up stories, made up by Jesus out of whole cloth in this case. Now, they touch reality, as good fiction almost always does. They're about real people. He got real people out of life, a king and people that he ruled over, or a father and his children, and many kinds of other things, a traveler who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and all the rest of them. All of these things were part of daily life for the people who were listening when Jesus told parables. But the parables themselves are fictional. He made them up. They have a single point. And the other thing about a parable is that it has a reversal in the middle. It starts out and you sort of say, well, I know where this story is going. And then all of a sudden, sometimes without our realizing it, Jesus has turned around and the story is going in the other direction. And we may not know that for a little while until we come to think about it. Some of you probably know that I drive a Mazda automobile. That's a Japanese make car. The Japanese took the name of one of the Babylonian gods, I think the god of light and of day, and applied it to an automobile. I happen to like Mazdas. This is the third one I've had. The first one I still have, and it's gone 350,000 miles. And it still runs. I'm not selling used Mazdas. But Mazda was one of the Babylonian gods in their pantheon. And the Babylonians, in their religion, had a tradition that when the Creator created the universe and the world and people, that there was a flaw, something was wrong. And that's how evil got into the world. Now, that's not what the Bible says. The people who wrote the Hebrew Bible, the people who wrote the book of Genesis, the people whose heirs we are in this story, those people said that on the sixth day of creation, God rested. And he beheld all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There is no flaw in God's creation. Not in the book of Genesis. Not in our religious heritage or tradition. Whatever is wrong with creation is because of us. Because of the way we use it. Because of the way we use each other. Because of the way we deal with God. Perhaps that's to get ahead of the story, but I want to be sure we understand that the biblical story says that the creation is good, and yet, of course, we've always been trying to explain why in a good creation is there evil. And whoever wrote down Matthew's gospel, it may have been a man named Matthew, Levi, one of the apostles, I'm not sure, but whoever wrote it down said, well, this little story of Jesus needs to be explained, and so he explained it in this way. He said, an enemy has done this. The devil has done it. Somebody has been messing with a good creation. Somebody has planted weeds in my garden. I don't need anybody to plant weeds in my garden. Weeds grow there by themselves, spontaneously. They grow even better than the flowers do, even better than the tomatoes do, even better than anything else in the garden does. The weeds grow. They're there. Some things that are vegetables in this part of the world, I think are weeds. Okra, for instance. I think okra is a weed, and I'm a Yankee. Even though I've lived in Clemson for almost 50 years still, I think okra is a weed. I think beets are a weed. I'm not sure about rutabagas and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. They may also be weeds as far as I'm concerned. What I'm saying by this bit of levity is that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the good things and the weeds. And I think Jesus knew that when he was telling this parable about how there were weeds in this good garden. When the wheat started to come up, the weeds came up with it. And the servants, the slaves, came to the master and said, shall we pull out the weeds? Now, I think that's the right way to do it. And it seems to me, although it's been a long time since I was ever on the family farm in Pennsylvania, but it seems to me that when you planted the corn, as soon as the weeds began to show, you went through and plowed them out, cultivated them out, got rid of them, so they didn't grow up with the corn. There wasn't any corn in Palestine in our Lord's day, as you probably well know. Corn is a product of this hemisphere, and nobody had any corn as we know corn until after Columbus had discovered that there was life beyond the edge of the ocean and the end of the world. But anyway, just to get ahead of the story, the parable Jesus told was about a farmer. The farmer planted good seed, and when the crop began to grow, there were weeds with the crop. And he told his servants to let everything grow, and when the harvest came, he would have the harvesters separate the weeds from the wheat and bundle up the weeds and burn them and bundle up the harvest, the wheat, and put it in the barn. Now that's what Matthew said in the gospel was the meaning of the parable. And I said, I don't think that he was right. I don't think it's about how evil got into the world. Even as last Sunday's parable, I don't think is about a farmer who was planting seed. It's been a short season, actually. Last week we were planting seed, and this week we're harvesting a crop. And it's only been 7 days since we planted the seed. But I think the parable about the planter is about God. About God who is a foolish farmer, He makes it rain on the bad people and the good people alike. He makes the sun shine on the bad people and the bad good people alike. He gives the whole world to people, whatever their morality is like. Everybody gets the same sunshine, the same rain. Everybody gets the same seed. So the parable about the sower, the man who went out to sow and who threw seed on the street and among the brambles and the bushes and in other places where it could not grow, and then threw a little on good soil. That parable is about God who is a foolish farmer, about God who sends his grace like rain, like sunshine, everywhere, on all kinds of people, good people and bad people, and people like us, who are sometimes good people and sometimes bad people. Now, in the parable, there is an accounting. There is a moment of judgment. But so far, I've got time. So far, you've got time. We're here, which means we have time. We may not have a lot of time. We may have a whole lot of time. We can't possibly know that. We have today. I think this parable says that we have today, and we must do today what needs to be done. We must say today what needs to be said. I love you. I care about you. I'm sorry, or I forgive you. Whatever words need to be spoken today, because we have today. And the parable says that we have this day to do whatever it is that we ought to do. And while we probably have tomorrow, and I hope we have next week and next year, and maybe a whole lot more years, all the same, we're not sure about that. All we can be sure about is that we have today. We have this moment, this hour, this day. So if there is some word that needs to be spoken, I love you. I care about you. I'm sorry, or I forgive you. Whatever the word is that needs to be spoken, whatever the handout, the hand of friendship, the hand of love, the moment of truth in a relationship, whatever it is, today is the day to do it. Because the parable says that there comes a moment when we cannot do it. Something will change. Somebody will die. Somebody will move away. Some neighbor won't be there any longer. Something will change. So I think the parable about bad seed and the good seed is a parable which is really saying we have today. So let us do today with love, with compassion, with understanding, with an arm across the shoulders, or with a wave across the room, or with a smile. Let us do today to each other, for each other, whatever we need to do.